Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about the core elements of the Kingdom.
And I'm trying to get all my buttons pushed here so that we can make a record, which is what we're going to talk about today, is congregations of record, core. I used to write that C-O-R, congregations of record, and the record means testimony. It's a congregation of testimony, but it looked better if you wrote C-O-R rather than C-O-T. Or congregation of witness, which would be cow. But I've actually taken to writing core, C-O-R-E, like the word core. And the reason I put the E there, you could say it's part of the word record, but the reason I put the E there is because the core of the core is elders. And you are the elders. The heads of every family is the elder of a core. And those elders gather together and they pick a minister. And those elders are up here. I'm holding my hand up here about head high. And the minister is down here. He's not over the core. He's under the core. He's a servant of the core. He can't serve you well unless you support him in his service. A laborer is worthy of his hire. And you have to support him according to whatever work he's doing, and that's fine. You decide, because the power of the purse, the treasury of the kingdom, is in your pocket. We've talked about this before, that when they made a central treasury, which Christ speaks against, Moses speaks against, such as the golden calf, which was a central treasury, was called a reserve fund in most city-states. When they had their golden statues, those are reserve funds. Those are the base deposit. That's like your Fort Knox. That's the reserve gold. And that's in that hand. You're all going to defend that central treasury because the money's not in your pocket anymore. And you are bound, and that's one of the elements of the world, to have a central treasury. You are bound in that central treasury. That's what it's designed for, is to bind you. Together as a people to obtain your loyalty. And they've done that. And that's why you don't have gold and silver in your pocket. And even if you're a U.S. citizen, the gold and silver in your pocket isn't yours, and they can take it away anytime they want, because you don't have any right to any property, because you're a surety for debt. And we were told that that's what's going to happen, that you're going to listen to vain words. You're going to believe, I'm saved, Jesus loves me, this I know because the Bible tells me so. But the Bible tells you that Jesus hates the Nicolaitans, and that's the conquered people that have gone the ways of Balaam, and they are conquered what? The greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. So men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority have offered you benefits, free education, free health care, etc., and you took them up on it. You signed agreements that said, yeah, I want these free benefits. And now they're your daddy. Who's your daddy? Do they love you? No. They love you like a cat loves a bird. And they are devouring you. And the reason why is not their fault. It's your fault, because you are devouring your neighbor by your covetous ways of forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, from health care to free education to fire departments to public services of all kinds. Public services in the kingdom of God are provided by faith, hope, and charity through ministers of service, not ministers of power. That's the government of God. You're not in the government of God. God did not establish the United States. He allowed you to establish the United States. He allowed you to establish the government of Australia. He allowed you to establish the Queen of England or any of these other nations, China, whatever. And he allowed you to do that. And most of the time you did that through apathy, through sloth, because you didn't take the responsibility. Somebody else picked it up. And everybody went along. And you have gone the ways of Balaam. and you are the Nicolaitans. You are the conquered people. You are again entangled in the bondage of the world, the elements of the world. You have become merchandise, human resources. You have become a surety for debt. You have done all these things, and you have gone to church and sang your songs. Shame on you. And I'm calling you to repent. Turn around, start taking care of one another in congregations of record. Start going on record saying, I'm going to try to take care of all the people that gather together in my congregation and all other congregations that network together with us. I'm going to start becoming the FEMA of our society, Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. I'm going to start becoming the department of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to let the Holy Spirit dwell in me. I'm going to gather together other people in love. I'm not going to be gathering together to talk about conspiracy theories as if somehow or other the Federal Reserve is the problem or the Illuminati is the problem or whatever you think is the problem. The problem is the fact that you are slothful and not doing what Christ said. And I'm going to change that. That's what you got to say. I'm going to change that. And I'm going to pray to God to give me the spiritual and virtuous power to do so, to keep me on the straight and narrow, the straight path of being the government of God in righteousness and not covetousness, because covetousness has made me merchandise. That's what you got to do. That's what congregations should be doing. And does it sound like I'm talking love? You bet I'm talking love. I'm talking tough love. I'm telling you what you missed so that you will stop missing it, so that you will turn around and really start loving Jesus and loving the ways of Christ. We have gone so far out of the way, but we're not really that far out of the way. All we got to do is turn around, start going the other way. You have to recognize that you've gone off and you're eating the slop of pig farmers that exercise authority one over the other. And the fact is, it should be easy to make that choice to turn around now, because the news is telling you the system is going to fail. You know, Ron Paul said, there is no Social Security trust fund and you don't have an account. Social Security is simple tax, like all taxes. The money collected is spent immediately as general revenue to fund the federal government, and nothing more than an accounting ledger with no money in it. That's Social Security. Now, that was out of Ron Paul's mouth. I can quote you if you go on our website and look up Not So Secure Social Security. You can find that with just a search engine. You can find it on the outline page. He'll tell you that the Supreme Court has already ruled there is no earmarking of funds. You have no account. The money you put in is not an investment. It goes to take care of the needy of your society. But it is not even earmarked. It can go to the military. It can go to foreign aid. It can go anywhere. Your Social Security money is not earmarked. It is against the law. Has been since 1935. It has been in 1960 by Supreme Court ruling. It is against the law to earmark those funds. So, does your government have a surplus in it? Your New Zealand, Australia, England, France, Italy, Turkey, any of these countries, Canada, any South American countries, does any of them have a surplus in their treasury? No. They are bankrupt. They are in debt beyond the capacity of them to pay the debt. You are surety for those debts, you citizens of Australia, New Zealand. Your social wealth, if you're born in New Zealand today, you're $50,000 in debt. Little cute little bundle of human resource there. $50,000 in debt. But people say, oh, I love New Zealand. If I go there just as a visitor, they'll fix my teeth at the expense of that baby, because he's going to have to pay for it. He's going to have to work and pay that debt off, because he's pledged to do so. He is bound in a system of debt. And you do the same thing. Everybody who takes the benefits of men who exercise authority are forcing that baby to work a large portion of their lifetime in slavery without pay to pay for your Social Security. Every dime you take is putting a burden on that child and all the children. You are eating the children of your children. You are so much in debt in the United States today. We carry the biggest debt, I think, of any other country. I think we're way down, number 300 or something like that. I used to have all the figures, but they're changing so rapidly, and not for the better. You are devouring your children by taking one benefit, public school, call the fire department, any of those things, any of those benefits that are funded out of this. Now, I know some of those are local funding, but the reality is that federal, state, it's the same principle. You have to start taking care of one another. That is what Christ was saying. Loving one another isn't just an idea. It isn't just lip service. It's actually loving them enough to take care of one another. That's what you should be talking about in your core meetings, is loving one another. How can we do that? How can we become the social welfare system of this little congregation? How can we find others who want to do the same, who want to live by the perfect law of liberty, who do not want to exercise authority one over another, who want to get involved in pure religion, taking care of the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity, unspotted by the constitutional orders and systems of the world that are the rulership of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other? It's simple, folks. Christ said not to be that way, and you have become that way. And all the singing in your churches will not change that. You need to repent. You need to go another way. You need to turn around and start being the government of God by loving one another. And to do that efficiently and practically and responsibly, you need to do that in small groups, where you can keep an eye on one another and be a part of one another's lives. And, you know, I get reports from congregations that congregations are sitting around talking about these conspiracy theories and what the bad guys are doing. You should be talking about what the good guys could be doing. You know, and not get all caught up in that. It's worse than getting caught up, maybe worse than getting caught up in all the theologies and eschatologies that have led people back into bondage. It's really very simple, and I talked about it in one of the first shows today about when they wrote the Constitution of the United States, they wrote, you know, we the people, and then you want to know who we the people are. Everybody wants to know we the people. They all quote that. They don't understand what's going on in this document. We the people, the names are down at the bottom. When they signed it, they were we the people. They're the only one. They didn't have any power to sign for you. Did you give them your power of attorney? Have you given them the power of your attorney that, you know, Hamilton could go there and sign for you and create this government? They didn't have that power. They had to take that document to the states and get them to sign something. And they did. They actually broke the law in doing it, because they implemented the contract before they had a unanimous agreement, and they had already made an agreement, which contract makes the law. They had already made an agreement with the Articles of Confederation that they would change nothing there unless it was unanimous, and the Constitution was certainly a change, and it was not unanimous, and they implemented it. They violated their own agreement when they did it, but it's still there. They did sign. Those that signed and those that signed later, they all were signing and becoming a part of that institution. It didn't have the power it has today, but the reason it has the power it has today is because you've been signing stuff. You've been applying for benefits. You have been covetous. You've wanted benefits at the expense of your neighbor. You did not pay into an account at Social Security. You do not pay into an account when you pay your income tax. You pay in because you're a member. You've been baptized into their religion. And that's how you take care of one another. We've talked before in previous shows when I show you the persecution of the early church and the trials of the early church, is that they were saying that they could not have a private religion. In other words, they couldn't have a private welfare system. They outlawed any private welfare system. Now, with the new health care deal, they make an exemption, and they mention things like the Good Samaritan people and the Amish, that they are excluded. Well, the fact is, and they say any organization before 1976 would be excluded. His Holy Church has been around since the year 30 AD. It should be excluded. But the churches out there aren't doing it. Even the Catholic churches, all their hospitals are in trouble now. Why? Because they haven't been doing it according to faith, hope, and charity. They've just been running a business. That's time for them to repent too. And start operating by faith, hope, and charity, and start doing what Christ actually said. You can't do that in mega churches. You have to do that in many congregations. Many, many congregations. That's M-A-N-Y-M-I-N-E-I. Many, many congregations. Congregations of tens. What is it? Composes a congregation? 10 families. What would that produce? 10 elders. What is an elder? An elder is king and priest in his own home. Okay, what does the king and priest have to do? What is a priest? Now, I had this discussion with just somebody the other day that the eldest son, and we were talking about inheritance in England, the custom of inheritance. And you can see in some of these shows that they have made of the books of Jane Austen and stuff, where the girls couldn't inherit, only the male heir could inherit. And they said, oh, that doesn't seem right. Well, the reason why is the male heir inherited, but not so that he could be rich and run around and tear down buildings and put up Grecian urns, but to take care of the needy of the whole family. Take care of the daughters. Take care of the sons. Make sure they got good educations. Make sure they got set up in business. And he was to manage those funds for the good of the whole family. But they didn't always do that. That they often did contrary to that. And that was bad. And the family broke down. And the system broke down. But that was being a priest. When the father was still alive, he would turn over the financial interests of the family to the firstborn or to his chosen of the first, you know, it might be the firstborn, but he might say, you know, he's the king. So he'd say, no, I'm not going to let you run the family business. You're not very good with money. I'm going to give it to your brother. And he would do that. He would place it on the brother. And the brother would be responsible to run the family business for the good of the whole family. He was the priest. He was the high priest of the family. He was handling the money of the family. When that family joined a congregation, he would be responsible for the tithe because he was responsible for the money. That's what a priest is. But what were the Levites? They talked about them being priests. Well, they were not the firstborn of individual families. They were firstborn of the nation. They were like those firstborns, but they couldn't go out and tax all the other kings and priests of their nation. But they organized themselves, and those kings and priests chose to lay offerings upon these living stones, these Levite living stones of an altar, to take care of the needs of their society. The widows, the orphans, the peace offerings in the time of war, in the time of law breaking. They were actually a part of the court system. They didn't try people, but they were the appeals courts. This is what the cities of refuge were. They weren't places where bad guys could run and hide. They were an appeals court system. And we explained that in some detail. We may put out a book that explains it in more detail. All you need to do is know how to read Hebrew. It's all there. That it's an amazing language. All the letters mean something. But if they get to define the words, And what most of the Christians have done is they've gone to the Pharisees, the remnant of the Pharisees, and said, okay, what do these words mean? Well, we know Jesus said they got it wrong. Like I said, most of the Hebrews at the time of Christ knew that the Pharisees were getting it wrong. They offered different solutions. Zealots offered one, and the Zealots were wrong too. And the Sadducees offered another, and they were wrong. Some of the Essenes, what we call Essenes today, some of them had it pretty close. Some of them had it closer than others. And many of them were probably the first Christians, because Christ said so many of the things that they said. But he was teaching people how to live in a society based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Your churches are teaching you how to sit in a pew and become stinky Christians, because you're not doing the words that Christ said. You're just thinking thoughts. I believe. I saved myself because I thought a thought. No, Jesus says you must be doers of the word. Who is the true sons of God, the children of God? Those who say, yes, we believe, or those who actually go out and do what he says? Christ says it's the ones who go out and do what he says, not those who say they believe. But your modern churches say all you have to do is believe. Now, I agree, all you have to do is believe and your father will run out and meet you halfway, but you got to be halfway back. Your belief has to be a belief of action. You must be, like the Romans, obedient in faith. In other words, you have to have repented and turned around and come back. And like the prodigal son, who had done no work yet at his father's house, was received with open arms. Right, you are not saved by works, but you got to be going back to do that work. And what they do is they get you to say you just believed, and now when you die, you'll be in the kingdom. But Jesus said the kingdom's not for the dead, but for the living, and you need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And you hearers only aren't really doers of the word. And you are not saved, and you are in a lot of trouble. So what do you do? What do we need to actually do physically on the ground to seek the righteousness of God and love for one another? Well, I can tell you this, you don't know what the righteousness of God is. It's a learning process. You may have a glimpse of it, like Moses through the crack, but you have to walk it out and live it now. And we know that living it will be like loving one another. And I know some of you that have gathered together in congregations are rather impatient with some of you others that have come. Great. Now you get to see how impatient you are. Thank them and bless them every time they try your patience, because your patience can grow. Now you're testing it, like flexing a muscle. Our muscles are things like virtue. Are your virtues getting tested by your congregation? This is why you need to gather together. Not because you are all perfect. Not because you all got the right eschatology. Not because you all say the right words. But because you're seeking to live another way. A whole different way. A way that is in the light. That's not going to lead you to vile perversions. Not going to lead you to lusts of the flesh, but love of righteousness. And it will test you. It will test your heart. It will test the inclination of that heart. And you will see, you know, I'm not really as patient as I thought. I'm not really as loving as I thought. And you will bring light where there was darkness. You will bring understanding where there was none. And so I beat you up enough in this first half hour of this show. Now we have to go on to, what does that love look like? How can we do this? We're so scattered. The coyotes are in the field, folks. The mountain lions sit upon the rock, and they are now stalking you through the brush. They wish to devour you. You're on his menu. Because you have been bloodied by the meat of your and flesh of your neighbor that you have been devouring. You have been living according to the ways of the beast. Through your covetousness, you have been made human resources. This is a key element. Now, by trying to come together in righteousness, you're going to come face to face with the true selfish nature that dwelleth within you. How did that get in you? Well, you were traumatized as an infant. You were abused. You were lied to. You were deceived. You were tempted. Okay, let's grow up. Let's grow up in the ways of Christ. Let's start walking in His path of straightness and righteousness. Let's start gathering together, even if it's just by phone, if you live too far away, and figure out ways to get the word out, the gospel of the kingdom. We have some that are learning to speak the way of the early church and understand how that early church operated. We need more. And those that are speaking it need your support. They need your assistance. This is an impossible task to turn the world right side up again. We cannot do it. It will take a miracle. All we can do is speak to you. We cannot exercise authority. You know, we make jokes, this job would be easier if I was a dictator. You have to be dictated to in your heart. What are you doing to seek the kingdom? The key element to that is to seek it not for yourself, but for others. That is Christ's nature. That you must come together to serve others, not yourself. You must sacrifice, not because your sacrifice will pay a price. You can't pay that price. But because sacrifice is the nature of Christ. Forgiveness is the nature of Christ. Patience is the nature of Christ. And when you don't have patience, you've abandoned the nature of Christ. And Christ cannot come in you if you have a selfish heart. He cannot dwell in a selfish heart. And when you try to be unselfish, you will come face to face with your selfishness. When you try to be patient, you will come face to face with your patience. I always say, if a man thinks he is wise, let him marry. If a man thinks he is patient, let him have children. A congregation is a family of Christ with God as our Father. He has the patience. We need to have His patience written in us. We need to gather together according to His ways of service to each other in faith, in hope, in love for one another. And by doing so, like the right foot, left foot, we will be drawn in our sacrifice, in our diligence, to God and God to us. As we are drawn towards Him, as we follow that path back towards His ways, He can run out and meet us in every moment that we take that step, process day by day, diligently. And we will continue to add, like I said, we have up there at preparingyou.com a Bible study on Romans and Colossians and Ephesians. And when my voice continues, I will continue with these and put them up for you to use in your congregations of record. But you need to do it. You need to become doers of the word. And we'll talk a lot more about that. And I hope I won't beat you up as bad as we've done in the first half hour and the hour before this. But we'll talk more about the love of Christ in us when we return to Keys to the Kingdom.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom, and we're talking about core, and we're talking about what's not core. Core meaning core to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we were told to do by Christ. He didn't start with, come out of them, my people. First, you have to become my people, his people, by turning around and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, repenting and going this other way. There's no point in coming out. He didn't call the Israelites out. He got them kicked out. And he got them kicked out in very hard times and took them to a very hard place. But he was there with them and provided for them. He's not going to provide for you unless you turn around and start seeking his ways. What we are doing today is we're calling you to the wedding feast. You have to get again as guests to the wedding feast of Christ. That is what you're being called to. In other words, you have to set the table of Christ. We've seen the table of the world set through their system of social welfare based on force. But where is the social welfare based upon love? That is Christ's table. Two different tables. You can eat of one, but we are told in Proverbs, if you sit and eat with a ruler, one who operates by force, the benefactors who exercise authority, if you sit and eat with them, put a knife to your throat, for they serve you deceitful meats. Paul says, so it should have been through your welfare has become a snare. He's quoting David. This is same old, same old. So if you want to really do what Christ said, you have to create a system that operates on faith, hope, and charity. Now, many years ago, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a Democrat, introduced a Social Security system, FICA program, through the Social Security Act. They had already, through Woodrow Wilson and his buddies, created a system of social welfare-type money, which was the Federal Reserve System. That's a socialist money system. It's a debt system. It is the antithesis of Sabbath. Sabbath isn't a day. Sabbath is a way. Sabbath is not, you know, we keep the magical day. You know, that worried Paul when people were starting to keep days, because they were starting to fall back into that pharisaical, you know, outward signs and symbols and rituals and idolatry. Sabbath is not a day. It's a way. And it's a way where you work and earn what you get, which is a day of rest. You have to work first. If you don't work first, you don't get the day of rest. Simple as that. You have to be putting up that surplus so that you can take that day off. You know, it used to be back in the 60s when I worked on wheat farms in North Dakota, there was 6 to 7 years supply of grain in the silos on the farms for the whole nation at any given time. 6 to 7 years supply. Worldwide today, there isn't 30 days supply. You get a crop failure worldwide, and people will starve by the millions, billions. Why? Because you're not keeping the Sabbath. Not because you're not keeping a day. Now, I'm not, if you want to keep a day, that's great. I think it's great to take a day of rest. But if you're not working first and earning your rest, you're not keeping that day holy. If you're in debt, you failed to keep the Sabbath. Get out of debt. Now, you can get out of your personal debt, but you're not getting out of your national debt, because you're bound in a system where you're surety for debt, because through covetousness they have made you human resources, merchandise. You have listened to their feigned words and you have gone their way, and FDR was one of those guys who were telling you feigned words. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's true. But then his solutions were of evil. They were covetous. He talks about participation in the program would be completely voluntary. And it is completely voluntary. But not as voluntary as it should be. But you still have to voluntarily, it still says this in the Social Security Administration, to get that number is voluntary. But without that number, you can't hardly survive. And not getting the number is not the solution. It's turning around and seeking the kingdom. At this point, you are probably already in the system if you're listening to the sound of my voice. There is no way out of that system because the system is in debt. You would have to pay off that debt. But there is ways to move so that they will reject you. And if you don't do that, you have to start filling each other's water flasks. That's what Phylos talks about during the plagues of Egypt, that they were taking care of one another. And those plagues are coming. You have to start gathering together to take care of one another. But I don't want you to do it out of fear. I want you to do it out of love, because you're going to have to learn love, real love, sacrificing love, love for love's sake. Anyway, so it was voluntary. What I'm talking to you is voluntary. It always is voluntary. It is the perfect law of liberty. And it requires that you gather together and start bearing witness to that love by your deeds, not just by words only. Participants would only pay in 1% of the first $1,400 annually income that they make. It's no longer 1%. It's 14% really of what you make. But rather, and it's I think it's the first 90,000 now. But of course, it's inflated money, which goes back to the golden calf thing that you did with the Federal Reserve, where you didn't put your money in your pocket. You were using debt notes. So there's many different layers that we go through this in the book Covenants of the Gods. And we explain them step by step, enough so that you can see that there's definitely a problem. And there's over 700 footnotes in that book, I think. So that you can go, if you go and get all the books that we make reference to, which are basic law books, they're not obscure books that you can't find their sources of anywhere. They're pretty standard places. And we tie it in with the history of the time and in the Bible. And so that you can understand the fullness of the gospel. It was a solution in this life and therefore in the next, because it was for the living. It talked about the money of the participants elected to put into the program would be deductible from their income for tax purposes each year. No longer deductible. That money the participants put in went to the independent trust fund rather than into the general operating fund. That actually never was the case. I'm reading something else that somebody wrote. I mean, right away there were cases that said that there can be no earmarking of funds. There's one fund, and it's bankrupt. It's been bankrupt, and they want to keep you bankrupt. They don't want to solve the problem. If they started paying off the debt, you could go free. They can't have that. They want to control you. This is the nature of the beast. You want to control your neighbor, don't you? Now that you paid into Social Security, you say, I have a right to that. I paid in. So I want those benefactors who made me pay in, I want them to make those other people that are working today pay in so that I can get a check. And you're saying that because you're not forgiving. You should say, I forgive the debt. You don't owe me anything. But you probably can't say that. You probably need the money, and I understand that. But I'm saying turn around and start seeking the kingdom, because that system's going to fail anyway. There won't be a check eventually, or it won't make any difference, because bread will be $20 a loaf. You'll have to go to their handout places, their camps or whatever they have to hand out food, because you won't be able to buy it. The money will fail. The unrighteous mammon always faileth. And it's going to fail again. I'm saying start seeking the kingdom. Start turning around. You don't have enough time to change everything. You don't have enough time to fix it, to pay off the debt. You don't have enough time to get ready. You don't have enough time. It will take a miracle to save you at this stage. And that miracle is God running out to meet you halfway. But you have to repent and turn around in order to get out to a place where God can meet you halfway. You may not even have, I don't even think a lot of you have time to go halfway. But you have to start being doers of the word. Start living by faith, hope, and charity. They talk about it being an annuity payment to the retirees would never be taxed as income. Well, under Clinton and Gore, up to 85% of your Social Security can be taxed. They can change the terms. We go through this. They can actually not give you one dime benefit. Not one dime. Not one morsel or crumb. Not the slightest benefit from this system of Corbin. And you still have to pay in. That's the law. It's been that way from the beginning. You didn't read the Social Security Act. You need to read that. Well, actually, don't even bother. Go read our article, Employee versus Enslaved, explains it. Money versus Mammon explains it. They're all free. Whole book, free. Just go read it. Study it. But it doesn't do you any good to study this unless you turn around and start forming cores, congregations of record. 10 families gathering together to become their own personal faith emergency ministry auxiliary with the intention of networking together with other core groups all over the country, all over the world, to be the government of God that operates according to the perfect law of liberty and faith, hope, and charity. So how do you do that? The only thing that we can offer you is the Living Network. And you can go to thelivingnetwork.org and you can find a place to sign up with email. And if you're listening to this on a regular broadcast, like we go out on radio stations in Las Vegas as well. And so you may hear us out there, some of the programs we make for them, and we go out on this station. And we try to go out in as many different places as we can, which is why I'm going to be talking for about 7 hours today. if my voice holds out. And we want to get other voices in on this. And we're putting together a system here where we can do that, put other voices onto the show, and save my voice if nothing else. But really, your voice has to be heard in local congregations. You as elders are the kings and priests of God's kingdom. You are responsible for picking someone to be your servant. It is not going to be somebody who wants to get up there and talk for 2 hours and tell you what to think and what to believe and how to act. It's going to be somebody who just wants to keep track of 10 phone numbers so he can let you know when the next meeting's going to be. And he's not going to run the meeting. You run the meeting. You've been letting somebody else run things too long. You've become lemmings. Repent. Start being the government of God by governing yourselves as responsible elders in a system based on faith, hope, and charity. You've got to take the reins of control of your life. Now that you can give something to somebody who is charitable amongst you to use for everybody else. If you just give to your neighbor, that's great. But it's not deductible. If you give to the church, it's deductible because you're actually doing the work of the government. Now they're going to eventually take that deduction away from you. There's no two ways about it. But you can do that if you do it through the church. If you do it through a congregations of record that are networked all across the country, you're excluded from the health care system of the world, at least for the time being. But what's more important is you will be creating that alternative to Babylon. You will be making the Ark of God, a system that actually will be the more righteous habitation. And you can start very small. You can just start a congregation of record if you all live 100 miles apart and you call up and say, what can we do to find more lost sheep in our area? Then you can gather together and you can create little boys clubs and girls clubs within it, you know, Scouts for Christ. And you can set them out on little charitable operations in your local communities. You know, blankets for the homeless or something. You probably can't feed them. It's against the law to feed them. You got to go do all these other things. You can go visit the sick in convalescent homes and in hospitals and do a program called The Visitors, and we'll make up church ID for you. And you can start learning what it means to care for others, to have compassion for others, to be involved in these charitable things and in cultivating that spirit of charity amongst anybody, you will start to draw in more and more people. We could have kingdom houses, not kingdom halls, kingdom houses. We don't want to do the other thing. We don't want to create another religion where you go and you turn off your brain for an hour and a half or 2 hours every Sunday or Sabbath. We want to turn on your heart so you actually have a heart for others. Nobody's being taught this message. You could teach this on Skid Row. But you have to do it in a way that strengthens the poor, and you have to strengthen one another by not picking a minister who will rule over you and tell you what to believe. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to pick the greatest servant among you. Who is the best servant amongst you? It's probably not who you've been thinking of as a minister. And then you have to work so that that doesn't become a burden. You know, we talk about the breaches of the Levites. I told you earlier that Christ was appointing disciples to do the same job as the Levites did. Problem is, you ask the wrong people as to what the Levites were doing. The Levites were naked. They had no authority. That's what it meant. They had to have the people sew their breeches out of linen. That's what you do by filling out the document that recognizes a minister, which you can change anytime you want. You have the power to change that anytime you want and overrule it, because you're a free people and the responsibility is in your hand. But anyway, that is sewing their underwear for them so they aren't naked. You're giving them, I can't give them license to be your minister. You give them license by saying, this is my minister. When the day you don't want them to be your minister, you say, this is no longer my minister. The power is in your hand. You're the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. You give him his undergarment, his clothing, so that he's not naked. You give him the authority. You choose to give him $10 to use for whatever charitable purposes that he chooses to use. And you watch and you say, he's done a good job. I'll give him $20 next time. Just like Christ. One denarii, two denarii, three denarii. If he does a good job, you give him another denarii. If he doesn't do a good job, you take away, you can't actually take away what you've already given because you're getting freely given it, but you don't give him any more. And you let God sort it out. That's the way the kingdom works. That puts the responsibility back in your hands. You pick the minister. You don't like the minister, you pick the wrong one. You have to, and you have to rebuke them. You have to say, you guys aren't doing the right thing. You guys are sitting around all talking about conspiracy theories, or you guys all sitting around talking about nonsense. Why aren't we talking about the love of Christ and how we can spread that love to others in service one to another? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that ye might be saved. What are you giving that you might save others? This is what the congregation should be doing. And this is what I know many of you could be doing. But you have to focus on the kingdom. You have to give license to your minister to do that job, but you got to make sure he's doing a good job. You have to give him the support he needs to do that good job, to advertise, to get more people to hear about this. And then when you gather together, you have to say, what can we do to teach these values to our children? We not just have a big meal and feast. Don't you not have homes of your own? Great to get together and share a meal. Potluck, great. Everybody brings something, great. But what are you discussing there? Are you being kings and priests, or are you just having a good time? Are you working on ways in which you can create the sons of God, the children of God, teaching these values to your children and to your neighbor's children? You don't have any children at home anymore? Teach them to your neighbor's children. Form Scouts for Christ, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I don't want to do some central top-down thing. You can figure it out. You know, go out and help some widow or orphan. And when you're out there, you know, clean up of some park or some piece of ground. Start projects. A lot of the TED thing are great ideas. Why aren't you doing them in the name of Christ? Showing people, we don't need to tax you to create a park. We can create a park on our own. I've seen the TEDs out there where they do that. Don't say, oh, you got to believe in his church and you got to do this and you got to do that. Just start taking responsibility. Be as sneaky but harmless as the serpent. Be as sneaky as the serpent. Get out there and start forming relationships. congregations that are actually doing, and people say, well, what are you doing? Well, we decided to take responsibility to help one another ourselves. We decided to become a charitable institution, a charitable FEMA, Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. We want to be there to help one another. That spirit is out there in institutions, but they don't yet make the cognitive connection that that's what the early Christians were doing. That's what the early Israelites were doing in Egypt. Why do you think the people showered them with gifts of gold and silver? Philo says they gave them the actual possessions. They didn't just borrow. That's a misunderstanding of the term. They were actually given the right of possession of this gold and silver and showered because the government failed to be there for them. Their FEMA in Egypt failed to help them during those trying times. But the Levites, or not just the Levites, the kings and priests of Israel, those who were beginning to follow in the ways of Moses, were not only helping each other, but had a surplus to help the other Egyptians. And so many Egyptians said, this makes sense. People helping people in righteousness, sacrificing for one another, and willing to do that because they know you sacrifice for them. You want to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare because you paid in as if that's an investment. That's not what Christ said. You invest in one another in love. That's what your corps should be doing. And all the corps are understaffed. And why? Because you're not getting the word out. You're not combing the brush and the sides of the road. You should all have cards that say when your gatherings are and be handing them out. Come to one of our gatherings. Come to one of our gatherings. Come to one of our gatherings. And when you come to the gathering, they say, every time you should be talking about what can we do to bear witness to the love of Christ in our communities? What can we do the rest of the week so that when we come back and meet next Saturday or next Sabbath or whatever it is, whatever day of the week you want to meet on, you guys work that out. I'm not going to give you a calendar. Calendars and clocks are for people who don't know what time it is. And what time it is time to start doing the will of the Father. Start loving one another in a way of righteousness. So you can hand out these cards everywhere and maybe even get radio spots and start building your congregation so that it gets so big you have to split it into two congregations. And then you can still have meetings where not 10 families come together, but 100 families come together. But during the week, those 10 families were communicating. That minister was calling you up maybe once a week, once every couple of weeks, and saying, you know, we're going to have a meeting here, and we got this project going, and we're going to cut wood for this widow, and we're going to get all the kids involved, and we're going to clean up this park, and we're going to, you know, wherever the governments of the world are failing, you start filling that gap. See a need, fill a need. And Christ will fill you. He will come out because you're being the government of God. You're helping one another. Home education, home health. Some of you have met, but now we want to meet Christ along this road. And that means we have to walk the road of Christ. That means we have to come together with the intention of serving, not being served. Do you get the picture? Well, we'll be on the radio again. We've got a study group starting in an hour on the Free Church Report, I think is what they're doing. On Tuesday nights, we have that Kingdom Come. There's lots of this stuff. Go to hisholychurch.org and we'll tell you more. Till then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.